Katie, are you a Matthew McConaughey fan?
You, okay, just for context, we say 3, 2, 1, go to start this thing. And the first thing you say is, am I a Matthew McConaughey fan?
Katie, I'm so good at podcasting now. The year is 2021. We've been doing this for, you know, we're going to be coming up on like 4 years of doing the podcast.
Yeah, that's wild to me. It does not feel like that.
That's fucking insane. Also,
yeah, that would have been a better opener than Matthew McConaughey, but all right, now I want to see where this train goes. I can't say I know much of the McConaughey, so tell me about the
McConaughey. All right. You know at least that, right? Just keep living and all right. Everybody knows that. No? Not, you've never seen Dazed and Confused? No?
No, I haven't.
Oh, shit, you're missing the classics of McConaughey. Well, listen, let me tell you, you should really brush up on McConaughey's library, because as long as you kind of skip over most of the rom-com stuff and kind of get like early McConaughey and then the McConaissance McConaughey. By the way, McConaissance is a real term that people...
No, I thought you were fucking...
Oh, no, it gets so much better. McConaissance is a real term that people actually used to describe the portion of Matthew McConaughey's career in which he stopped doing romantic comedies, which he did a bunch of, and he kind of got typecast in that role, and very rich and popular in that role. And then he started doing things like Mud and Dallas Buyers Club and all of these more serious dramatic films. And, you know, eventually he wins the Oscar for Dallas Buyers Club. That is an actual term that the entertainment industry used to refer to Matthew McConaughey, which was made up by Matthew McConaughey. So I've been listening to his book, which is the reason why I mentioned it. He did sort of like a memoir retrospective. Very, very interesting book, like legitimately.
Okay.
Even if you don't give a fuck about Matthew McConaughey, his description of like his life from, you know, where he grew up in Texas to like moving to Hollywood and trying to find himself and having that initial success, but being typecast and having the McConaissance, whatever. But he tells a story, and he says in the book, I guess I've never told any, he reads the audiobook, which is fantastic. That's 100% how I recommend people experience it, because he reads the goddamn audiobook, and it's 100% McConaughey. But he tells the story of how, like, I've never told anyone this. He goes, but the McConaissance thing, like, yeah, I just made that up. He goes, I was on the red carpet for some event or whatever. And he goes, I just thought, you know, like I was getting these more, you know, critically acclaimed roles and everything was going well. He figured it needs like a branding. It needs like a name for this whole thing. And so he said to a reporter who asked him about this, he goes, oh, yeah, you know, things are looking really good. Actually, I was talking to another reporter the other day and they called it the McConaissance. And the reporter was like, oh, that's so great. That's a great name. That's going to stick. And he just made it up.
I'll be honest, the number one question on my mind right now is, how on earth did you get to reading the biography of Matthew McConaughey?
I'm an interesting guy, Katie. I go interesting places.
Okay, that's all the answer I need. I imagine you just like found it at the side of the road. It was like, dope, all right.
As I was hitchhiking to Mexico, just found it on the side of the road. What am I doing on the side of the road?
People hit, like, I don't know, walking? I don't, what do you mean hitchhiking to Mexico?
You're like exercising, going for a jog like a normal person? not trying to flee justice on your way to Mexico. Like,
oh, Jesus Christ. We talk about BioWare sometimes, don't we? Isn't that the point of these things?
All right. Okay.
Well, speaking of ass,
wait, what?
Well, I know we wanted to talk about the Miranda thing, and which means
I thought you were talking about Magic Mike.
Wait, what?
Matthew Mike.
Was he Magic Mike?
Yeah, he really was. I was like, oh shit, what a segue.
Oh, no, that was actually, I don't know. I haven't seen Magic Mike.
I have seen a few Matthew McConaughey movies. I have not had the pleasure of seeing Magic Mike. I think we should talk about Mass Effect now. It's probably a good idea.
Yeah, let's just talk about Mass Effect Legendary Edition. It's a thing. It's real. We have a date, May 12th, I think.
Yeah, right. May 12th of this year. That's going to be in, God, a couple months, few months. It's going to be here before you know it.
Yeah.
And and Mass Effect is back. So they announced, well, it's not that they announced it. We've known that this has been coming out. They actually announced it properly and had a teaser trailer at the Game Awards last year, which was a surprise for everyone. But this really feels like the first solid info that we've had. Screenshots, video of actual gameplay, descriptions of everything that they're going to be changing. And BioWare held a sort of closed door, hands off demo presentation for several members of the press. And so now we finally have information, which has been making the rounds on Twitter. And we thought it would be good to do an episode for people to talk about the list of changes, what our impressions are, and then also talk about, you know, a little bit about BioWare, kind of like what their direction is right now. They were mentioned on the most recent EA investor call. And sort of like what the state of BioWare is now, and the excitement for the Legendary Edition. And then also we'll throw in some bullshit controversy, because of course there's always something.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, so do you think we should just run down the list of changes for everyone real quick, just so they know what we're talking about now?
Yeah, let's go for it, because I know like a lot of the audience isn't necessarily like into Mass Effect, and maybe they just want to hear about it or hear our thoughts about it.
Yeah, I agree. So first off, we'll run down the list of changes, and I will say, like, if you're not driving or anything, and you can go look at screenshots or video, that's the best thing to do. I will say that my gut level reaction to this round of the announcement, let's say, to this information, was like, oh shit, that looks good. That looks maybe better than what I expected it to look like. Mm-hmm. I personally was not expecting a lot. I think I've said this in, you know, on prior episodes and in live streams. Like, I really kind of expected that they'd come in with a bare minimum of a res bump. It's going to run on higher frames per second on consoles, and maybe like very bare bones post-processing stuff, like better anti-aliasing and like some lighting effects and like a filter on to make it look different.
Mm-hmm.
I really thought that if anyone was going to be guilty of that low effort remaster, you know, no offense, but I thought maybe EA would try and get away with that. The extent to which they have changed things actually surprises me, in particular for Mass Effect 1, and it doesn't get into the category of a full-blown remake. It is still definitely in the remaster camp, but they've done enough where I'm like, you know what? I'm kind of excited about this now. I will say, like, I am now pre-ordered. I'm in. All right, let me just run down a few of the changes overall kind of for gameplay. So Mass Effect 1 is going to get weapon rebalancing. They're going to get class-based weapon restrictions removed, but you still can't train them. So basically, any class will be able to use any weapon, that's not the case in the original, but you won't be able to spec into that skill tree. The rebalanced XP for the new level 60 level cap, it'll have a dedicated melee button, which it never did, which is insane to think about. The only time you could melee people in Mass Effect 1 is when you pulled the trigger to fire very close to enemies, which is weird. There's going to be better cover pass, better boss encounters. The example that they gave of better boss encounters I thought was interesting, because it's kind of legendary for being hard because of jank, and it's the boss fight against Benezia. That boss fight is infuriating because the cover is not laid out correctly. You're basically fighting in a giant square, and the enemies have just janky AI where they all just sort of rush around you and crowd you, and there's no good auto saves. It's a mess. So they're going to address all of that stuff. ME1 is going to get aim assist improvements, in-scope aim smoothing. They're going to remove class-based aim penalties. The camera interpolation and smoothing is going to get better. For stuff in the world, they have, from what they've shown, and it's hard to say because we haven't seen the finished product, but from the videos and screenshots they've shown, on certain levels, they have gone in and, like, added foliage, like, added, you know, different things to the environment, trees, plants, the ground textures have all been overdone. I wouldn't say it's a full redesign, but on, like, say, a place like Vermeier looks different now. Like, it legitimately looks different from how much stuff they've added.
Yeah. I will say, like, everything looks beautiful, don't get me wrong. It is kind of funny to me how much lens flare is in all of these photos.
Oh, God, the lens flare.
I think
actually JJ Abrams saw and said, hey bro, calm down with the fucking lens flare.
I saw someone actually made
that meme. Yeah, it's not a quote or anything, but
yeah, it's don't get me wrong, still looks nice, but it is kind of funny like how much is there.
Yeah, in that screenshot of the Mass Effect 2 companion lens flare, Thane is standing next to the fucking lens flare. That's what it really felt like.
I'm like, it's like going over him.
I'm like, oh shit, I didn't notice that there was a new companion called Lens Flare. Like, what the fuck? But yeah, it's a lot of Lens Flare. I'm not going to lie, it is.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's a lot. Maybe they just took bad photos and like in game, it's like, oh, they only usage of lens flare in those photos. I doubt it, but it trying to give benefit of the doubt.
I am hoping that it will be that they will look at the feedback, and that is basically a post processing effect, so they can hopefully just kind of tone that down a bit before the full release comes out.
What if it was a slider, like a J.J. Abrams slider? Just go like full J.J., J.J., low J.J.?
I was going to say, oh, no, I'm sure it is something like a slider. No, you mean literally if on the slider it said J.J. Abrams?
Yeah. Yes.
It's like on the right side of the slider, it says J.J. Abrams, and on the left side of the slider, it says all of the people who were mad at J.J. Abrams for the fucking lens flare.
My husband, because he hated those movies, the Star Trek movies.
Well, that's okay, because I think J.J. Abrams' Star Wars movies suck, too, so unite. Okay, anyway, continuing on the list of things that are different, there's going to be an elevator skip button, basically with the new hard drives and PCs and in consoles, those long elevator rides in Mass Effect 1, which were basically covering for long load times. They put news audio logs in there. They put companion banter in there to cover up that long load time, but it's still a load time. Now you will be able to load, you know, it loads in like 10 seconds versus over a minute before. And if you want to still hear all of the companion banter, you can let it go. But there's a skip button if you want to, you know, go to the next area right away. There's going to be changes to difficulty, like tweaks to the difficulty and the frequency of the minigames. Mass Effect 1 had some weird minigames. Honestly, Mass Effect 2 also had some kind of weird minigames.
Mind those, to be honest, because I don't know, I think they're kind of fun, so I was kind of sad about that one. I would take the full
in particular for Mass Effect 2. I actually thought that they were creative and good, and some people hated them because they're very frequent in Mass Effect 2, so as you like. I'm sure someone will do a mod or something.
Yeah, put them back in.
And then the Mako, I mean, god, the Mako is legendary for how janky it is.
Yes.
So, speed boost, camera shake is being added, alternative control scheme, and updated physics based on the new world, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of like the quick overview for gameplay changes. They've done a ton of things graphically. That's obviously what most people think of when they think of a remaster. To explain it briefly, basically what they did is they ran every single texture through all three games through like an AI sort of upsampling program. Increased the resolution of the individual textures for the assets in the game between 4 times and 16 times higher.
Isn't that what the mod did too? Or no?
There is a mod that does something similar.
Okay.
Yeah, there is definitely a mod that uses AI to super sample and to basically up-res the textures. I don't know. Maybe it'll look very similar, but I also hope that BioWare has maybe they have a more professional-grade software. Maybe they just know how to use it better. I don't know.
Well, I forgot what video I was watching, so I don't know how true this is, but it was somewhere I heard that like they use the AI, and then they also they put artists in to like refine it and like make it a little bit crisper or
yes.
Make it more sense. So it's not to say that the mod didn't do that. I just don't think it did, but who knows?
That is 100% what BioWare did, and also for your specific characters, all of the companions specifically, they remade them. So they did actually do new textures, in particular for Mass Effect 1, to bring them closer to Mass Effect 2 and 3. And then real quickly, they did improved tone mapping, improved anti-aliasing, they've added volumetrics and fog, bokeh depth of field and bloom, bokeh depth of field and bloom, subsurface scattering, which is really cool. That's kind of what makes light look slightly translucent on like skin surfaces, and ambient occlusion. I didn't know that Mass Effect, I think they said throughout the trilogy, or definitely in Mass Effect 1, there isn't ambient occlusion except for on very specific scenes.
So I am dumb, dumb baby, and I don't even know what that is.
So I was going to go through and talk about what most of these were, or at least a little bit, because tone mapping is just sort of like simulating HDR without having HDR, so shadows and light look like they have more contrast without it looking, like without the contrast getting, without it crushing the darker colors too much, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So that's nice. So subsurface scattering, I already said. Ambient occlusion to me is huge. Ambient occlusion is just basically like, it's a more realistic, not a simulation, but it's a more realistic portrayal of shadows. What you get is much better, more realistic shadows with ambient occlusion. I didn't realize that wasn't in, that it really wasn't in there at all. And if you go into most games, like if you went into Dragon Age Inquisition and you turned off ambient occlusion, you would go, oh, okay, that makes a difference. Mm-hmm. Like, it makes a big difference to how stuff looks. So the fact that they're just adding that, and I didn't realize that it didn't completely have that in one in particular, that's going to make a difference. Like, this game is going to look better than what it looks like, certainly on consoles. That's a no-brainer. But I was afraid that they were going to give us nothing more than what we already had on PC, and I'm confident now that we're getting more than that.
I will say that there's an element of, like, well, one, when I played the trilogy, it was on my crappy, I wouldn't say crappy, it was a 2008 MacBook, which was about more than half an inch thick, and it didn't do so hot, so I can't say I had the best graphics in playing the series. But I do feel like in my memory, that's how I remember it looking. And I wonder if, like, a lot of people who played it back then and never touched it again, they're going to look at these changes and go, did that change at all? But when you look at it side to side, you're like, oh, fuck, that's what it looked like. Oh, my God. It looked awful. This looks so much better. I guess I had that experience. I don't know if anyone else is going to have that.
You know what? I think you're the first person I've heard say that. I think you're 100% right. I think you're 1,000% right. I think that's exactly what's going to happen, because that is so often what happens with basically, you know, most games.
Mm-hmm. And, like, I know you replay the series a couple times a year, at least once a year. So, like, yeah, you know what it looks like.
I know exactly what it looks like. I know exactly what it looks like with the best. Well, I haven't played with the most recent versions of a lot and the other texture mods that are out there, and I've heard that they've only gotten better. So the second most recent version of all of the mods that are out there I've played with. And so I know what it looks like with those. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And seeing this footage, in particular, the lighting, the fog, you know, the shadows and stuff like that, that's stuff that's much harder to do in mods. And it makes the game look so much more modern that even if the textures aren't as good as the modding textures, I still think overall this is going to be the best looking version of Mass Effect we've ever had.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that was the goal, right? And I think they succeeded. So, yeah, well, they also have a couple, like, new things. Like, I was reading, I think I haven't pre-ordered, and I don't know if I will, but I feel like the one thing that made me go, ooh, maybe I should get this game, was more character creator stuff, because that's what I turn tricks for, apparently.
That's a great choice of words. You're taking character creation really fucking seriously.
Look, that's what I got. Because, like, the one thing that drove me nuts is, like, my Shepard looking, like, okay, you know, you spend so long in the Mass Effect 1 character creator, like, okay, this is my Shepard. And you put her into 2 and you're like, who is this? And you can't change it. At least for 3, you got to edit it a bit. But as we're going to 2, like, who the fuck are you?
All, and I hate to say this, but, like, all femme Sheps look like beleaguered, garbage, tired mom Sheps. Like, they all kind of look like not their best.
Don't get me wrong, I'm kind of into tired mom Sheps. That's my jam. But sometimes you don't want to play tired mom Sheps. Am I going to if I play again? Yes, but that's not the point. Yeah, it was not the best. And, like, I remember, like, a lot of the hairstyles just not. I mean, like, you're always going to have probably a shorter hair, like, or a bun or something tied up. So it'd be interesting if, like, because they added apparently new hairstyles and also hairstyles for, like, you know, black characters, like, what they're going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are they going to have, like, longer hairstyles, or is it really just going to stay with the short hairstyles? Like, I kind of almost wish they, like, had some photos of what the new stuff is going to be.
There was one photo of the new character creator, and I don't know if I can pull it up now, but, you know, people who have seen it have definitely, I heard one person, I think it was one of the reporters from Game Informer, say, oh, Mass Effect finally has good hair. Which, maybe that's just them proclaiming that a little early, but it's encouraging to hear.
Yeah, I also want to know, like, how much is new. Like, do they add, like, 1 or 2? Did they, like, double it? Yeah. Like, I do know, like, they kind of backported, so some hair that was in 3 is now in 1. And
that's right.
Whatever. But, yeah.
And
I don't know, I kind of want more information on that.
I do, too. And most notably, probably the thing that I noticed, really noticed first when I saw this newest trailer, is the iconic female Shepard appearance, which only started in Mass Effect 3, has now been backported to Mass Effect 1 and 2. for anyone who's not familiar, Shepherd, male Shepherd is based on a real life model. Female Shepherd, the default version of female Shepherd was kind of just number one on the sliders kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. She didn't have a specific appearance or a canon appearance. And so for Mass Effect 3, they had kind of like a contest where they had different artist versions, not based on a real life model, mm-hmm. but just different versions of an iconic, quote unquote, female Shepherd. And so one of those art concepts won, and then that was the default iconic appearance in 3. But it was kind of jarring because if you had had a Shepherd that you really liked in 1 and 2, and then there was this sort of, you know, kind of nicer looking version in 3, people, you know, people could only have it in 3.
Yeah.
It's just nice to have, for a consistency sake, that has been put into Mass Effect 1 and 2.
I'm glad they have that, but I gotta say, not a huge fan of the, I guess, the new defaults, or I was never a big fan of what she looked like in 3. And that, I don't know, just something didn't sit well with me. Not nothing is anything bad with it. It was just kind of like, meh.
I agree with you 100%. I have never used the default Shepherd ever, female mm-hmm. Shepherd. I will probably the first run for this one, just because it's there in Mass Effect 1. I kind of want to live with it for the whole trilogy and see if it maybe grows on me. Yeah. I've never liked the design, though, either. It looks too cartoony to me.
Yeah, it does. It looks like an anime girl.
Yep, a little bit. And the mouth, the proportions of the mouth just don't look right. And like, the face just looks a little bit off to me.
Yeah, I think you could really tell where one is based on a person and one's based on a concept.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
you mentioned, you know, kind of that the fact that people might see it and then feel maybe a little bit underwhelmed because in their memory, this is kind of what they remembered Mass Effect looking like anyway. That takes me to a question, I guess, overall that I think is very interesting. What do you think overall the reaction to this is going to be inside the quote unquote community and maybe for the broader gamers at large?
What do you mean? Like when this comes out?
Yeah, when it comes out, are people going to say this is incredible? This is a slam dunk. This reminds us of how much we love Mass Effect. Or are they going to complain and say it doesn't look as good? Why'd they do this? What, you know, we want more. Like, what do you think? Are people just not going to care? Be like, we already played that.
I don't know. I feel like, okay, I think it depends what May's going to be like. We're in very strange times, Jordan, and with the pandemic and whatnot. So I think there could be a really good market for a nostalgic game like Mass Effect. And so, like, I think if this comes out and the world's still kind of in a rough place, like, that could win a lot of people over just because, like, oh, I remember 10 years ago when I was playing Mass Effect. I was still in college or high school or whatever. I was a baby. You know, and like, there'll be some nostalgia there and some comfort, and they'll kind of, like, the rough parts will smooth the way. So I think that is something we need to factor in. But you know, that's a couple months away. Who knows what happens? So there's that. Overall, though, like, I think this is also kind of hard. We don't know what it's going to be. Like, the photos look very promising. But if, like, something isn't quite right, is it kind of janky, is it going to be really buggy, then I think it's going to kill it. I also think, like, now, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think BioWare is technically doing this. Like, they hired out another company, isn't that right?
No, BioWare is doing it.
Oh, they are doing it? Okay. For some reason, I thought they had, like, a different team heading this up.
Yeah, no, Mac Walters has been the one overseeing it, and I can't remember who the other person is. They are it was another person who I believe was maybe a cinematic director who was being interviewed, mm-hmm. who had worked on the trilogy as well. There are people who have worked on the trilogy, most notably Mac Walters, who have overseen it.
All right, take that back then. I'm curious how people are going to react to the ending again, because, like, nothing has changed. Literally nothing has changed. But, like, when I played Mass Effect, I kind of vaguely knew of the drama, but I didn't really care. And I obviously played after the extended cut was released, and, like, I didn't mind it that much. I really didn't care.
Yeah.
And I want to know how many people are going to go into this game who, like, maybe they're finally old enough to play, you know, like, they and, like, all they know is, like, oh, I think the ending kind of sucked, and they're going to play it and go, oh, that wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
100%. That is the thing that I might be most optimistic for out of this entire Legendary Edition remaster deal, is that with the extended cut there and with the Citadel DLC,
Yeah.
I think people forget how much of a bomb this did. Like, the people say, oh, the Mass Effect Indian controversy, the Mass Effect Indian controversy. When the Citadel 3 DLC came out, everyone was like, this is the ending that we really wanted. All is forgiven. Everything's fine. Like, that brought everybody back together. And it was the ultimate ending to that story and to that trilogy. I mean, like, the ultimate ending, right? Like, that's the kind of ending I dream for Dragon Age. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was so satisfying to have all of your companions and characters back in one place, you know, going on a fun adventure and then throwing a house party. That was the ultimate ending. So with those two things there now to be experienced, like you said, maybe for the first time in years, I think that we might see a totally different reaction to the ending of 3.
No, I agree. I can't wait for the gaming op-eds to be like, actually, the Mass Effect ending wasn't that bad. Calling it now. Kotaku, I'm looking at you.
PC gamer. Like, they love to do this stuff.
That's true.
They love to do this stuff.
They all kind of do that. Because I think they're, like, I think that's the correct opinion. Like, I don't actually think it's that bad. Now, maybe the original where it just, like, cut after everything exploded. Like, okay, that was kind of jarring. But,
right.
At least how I played it, I was like, yeah, all right. I was content. So I think it's going to go over pretty well. And maybe this bleeds into the earnings call, but I think you are going to probably start seeing people going, like, oh, maybe Bioware's not dead after all.
That's 100% what people are going to say. Once everyone is reminded, like, of what they are so good at, which is Mass Effect, and then hopefully we're not going to have to wait however many more years. Hopefully it's only a couple more years before Dragon Age 4 is out and people can remind them.
Okay, you tweeted at, or I guess you didn't tweet it at me, you like retweeted and tagged me, whatever the fuck, I don't know Twitter. But like, they're like, oh, what about a Dragon Age remaster? I'm like, well, Inquisition just came out. Actually, it's been almost a decade. Fuck!
It's been 6 years. Six years and a few months.
We're going on our seventh, Jordan.
And it came out in November of 2014.
It'll be better part of a decade. Yes. By the end of this week. Like,
if they started working on it now, it'll be probably close to a decade.
Yeah. Fuck, man.
And so I would love, you know what's interesting about that though? Okay, you know what? Hang on a second. I'm gonna come back to that question about whether, but I wanna finish kind of just so people get the full picture of what the Mass Effect remaster is.
Oh, yeah.
I do want to mention, because this is important, no changes to story. This has been confirmed. They're not adding any new content. Any new story content. That's a very key thing. No new story content. All of the DLC that was ever released for Mass Effect will be included except for...
This is a funny story, I think.
Yeah, except for the one DLC that was not developed by BioWare, which was called Pinnacle Station. It was basically like a... almost like an arcade game type of setup. Like, there was a very bare-bones story about this station called Pinnacle Station where you could run this simulator... That was like a combat simulator, and you had to like get the high score, and there was like this other guy who was like, you're not going to beat my high score. and you end up like fighting them for real or whatever towards the end. It was kind of dopey, but you got a cool little player home, like a little apartment on this sort of out of the way planet. And I always tended to, like, my last save file before I would go to Mass Effect 2, I would always go to my little player home. So I kind of loved it for that reason, because that's always what I would do.
Well, now you can't do that anymore.
I know, it's kind of sad. But that will not be included on Legendary Edition, because the company that they sort of outsourced that DLC to went out of business several years ago, and apparently there were no backups of the source code. So,
yep, and that's why it wasn't, I think that's why they said that's why it wasn't ported to certain consoles, is because they couldn't find
and apparently they made like Herculean efforts to try and find it and like reach out to people who used to work for that company, and like they really wanted it, and Mac Walters described it as being really kind of a letdown because they wanted to have every single thing as part of single player Mass Effect in this collection. They just, that content is gone forever.
I do wonder how hard it would be to remake it.
So let me see if I can get my quotes correct. They said that, another thing, Mass Effect 3 multiplayer is not going to be in, because they said that would require a ton of work. I think Mac Walters said that remaking Pinnacle Station from scratch would have been as much work as putting multiplayer in, and that would have been a lot.
Wow. Now, aren't they doing... like, maybe they're not releasing, or they're doing some... There was something about mods where there was, like, the game was going to be mod-friendly. Do you think maybe like some very determinated monitors? Yeah.
They could probably make an approximation of, you know what? Maybe. Who knows? That'd be very interesting if they did. That'd be hilarious if they did, actually. So yeah, no new story content.
No, didn't you say there was going to be some new Easter eggs?
So there is a quote right towards the end of the Game Informer feature on the, because Game Informer has put the M-E-L-E on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
Side note, I know that Ash, aka Lady Insanity, has dubbed it Melee, and a couple of people are saying Melee. I'm not going to go with Melee. I'm going to go.
I kind of like Melee.
I'm not going Melee. I'm going M-E-L-E because Melee just sounds weird to me. I'm not going to hit anybody with this game.
Nah, hey, maybe you will. I don't know. New year, new you.
So Game Informer has put M-E-L-E on the cover. And right at the end, like right at the end of the article, they throw in the fact that there's going to be quote-unquote Easter eggs that they've thrown in that fans would recognize sort of throughout the three remaster games. No other hint as to what they are. It's not anything that constitutes a new story content. It's not really going to affect the story in any way, but little nods, I guess, are going to be in there.
Mm-hmm.
One person theorized maybe there's going to be an Andromeda Easter egg, and I'm like, yeah, oh, that'd be fucking great.
Because, yeah, why not? Like, it would be kind of fun to, like, because doesn't Liara, you get a transmission from Liara. It'd be fun to, like, maybe you go onto her console and you see that message being sent.
Oh, that would be so cool. I didn't even think of that. That would be epic.
That'd be really cute. That'd be pretty cute.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's, let me see anything else that I want to mention about the Legendary Edition. You know, they just said that the characters are being touched up, but like, you know, Liara, for instance, they're redoing her texture, her look for Mass Effect 1. They want it to be closer in quality to 2 and 3, but they don't want it stylistically to look like 2 and 3 because she's older, she's more experienced, she has like a different look slightly in 2 and 3. So they still want it to look like Mass Effect 1 Liara, just higher quality. They're applying that same thought process to all the characters who appear in multiple games.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's pretty much it in the broad scopes. Like I said, it's way more than what I actually thought we were going to get, and I'm rather pleased about that.
Now, Jordan, you forgot the travesty of what's getting cut.
Oh, do you want to talk about the booty shots? Do you want to just talk about that right now?
Yeah, talk about the booty shots.
For fuck's sake.
Okay, so I kind of like, I heard rumblings of this, and then you sent me the, and like, I was like, oh, there's just maybe like, I thought it was one of those things where, like, two people were mad and, like, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
And then you sent me that video. Right. And then I, completely unrelated, at the same time you were talking to me about that, people on my Discord started talking about it. And we're talking about all the channels that were talking about this. I'm like, holy fuck, people actually care?
People, in air quotes.
What?
Now, to be quite honest, like, to be fair, like, I reached down to the low shelf, right? Like, I sent Katie a link on Discord to a person who was on YouTube, who I guess you could call a YouTuber, and I'm not going to say who it is, because that's petty, but I reached down to, like, the lowest level, right? Like, it's the scummiest, like, pasty-looking, ridiculous dweeb who's mad that there's no booty shots in there. And I just gotta say, like, I have so many thoughts about this, and I know you do too, but, like, I was, like, ready and raring to go this afternoon when I discovered this video.
Well, Before we go into this, a quick explanation. If you haven't played Mass Effect 2, there's a character, Miranda, and sometimes when you're talking to her, I think the most notorious one is that it's during her personal quest, and she's talking about, like, you know, how, like, she has to go save her sister, and it's really, really serious. It, like, the camera is on her ass. Like, there's no other reason. It is just the camera. You're, like, there's Shepard in the background who's, like, maybe an inch tall, and then ass.
Yeah, the foreground is completely her ass.
And it's funny. Like, I remember, like, almost everyone I've talked to, including my husband, was like, yeah, that was a lot of ass.
It really was.
It was kind of weird. It's not sexy. It's awkward. It's just really awkward and weird and kind of funny. And so, like, this, I mean, I guess I interrupted, but yeah, it's just stupid. It's stupid that this is censorship. It's not censorship. It was a shit stain on the game, and they're scrubbing it out.
Yeah, entirely. I entirely agree with you. It's not censorship. And I guess I think sort of three things overall about this. Number one, this is a really stupid thing to even have to talk about. Like, it's a stupid controversy on its face.
Yeah.
Number two, they should take the shots out.
Yeah.
They should take the shots out. It's ridiculous that they were in there. It's bad cinematography. I'm not even necessarily approaching it from the standpoint of it being objectification or whatever. And you could certainly criticize it on those grounds. I'm not saying you couldn't. but I'm saying purely based on consistency with the rest of that scene and the rest of the way that they frame literally all of the other characters, it's just awkward, weird cinematography. It doesn't mesh with how they constructed that scene. Like, I haven't actually watched that scene in a while, but it's fine. I've played the trilogy 13 times. I know what it looks like. I remember that scene. Like, I remember the framing of those shots, right? Because every time you walk in to talk to Miranda, it always opens with a shot of her at her desk. And then she may get up. She may move to the window. She may move to the, like, she has a bedroom behind her office in that version of the Normandy. Mm-hmm. And all of those shots are basically, like, sort of like half close-ups and two shots. And there's a shot of Shepard sitting down at one point, and then he gets up. And like you said, Shepard's in the background. Miranda's in the foreground. That shot just makes no sense. Like, they don't ever go to any other shot like that at any point, except a couple of times when it's Miranda. So they should take the shots out. But the third thing also, even if they didn't take the shots out, it still kind of doesn't matter. Like, I think it's the right decision to take the shots out. I'm just so amazed at people's fervor on this. Like, the people who are like, they're going to war for the booty shots, man. Like, they are like, this is freedom of speech, man. You can't take our booty shots.
Yeah.
Like, fucking it's Braveheart, so man. Like, they'll take our booty shots, but they'll never take our freedom. You know, like, they're really like, this is censorship, fucking BioWare, SJWs. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, booty shots, bro? Like, this is what you're fucking up in arms about?
It's so weird. Okay, here's the thing, though, is with the booty shots, and, like, they're trying to make it a political thing. You know, I got family members that are, you know, right-leaning and conservative. They would also be pro-taking out of the booty shots, guys. This is an SJW
it's
thing.
It's not exactly a tenet of social conservatism to have the booty shots in there.
No, this is your own, like, weird, horny thing. This isn't leftist. This isn't Republican.
Yeah.
This is you horny bastard. This isn't political.
It's a weird thing. And here's the thing, though, too. And I do think that this distinction is important. When I say that it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if they left them in, I'm not advocating that they leave them in. I think they should take them out. I don't think they ever should have been in there. I don't think it's good framing for that scene. I think it's kind of just like crappy filmmaking, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to...
It really is like if you were watching like a good movie like The Matrix and suddenly Trinity just like flashed out her tits. Like, there really is no reason for it. It just, hey, do you want some tits right now? Hey, happy birthday. Anyway, story.
Or even just like if you even say that there's no reason for it. Like, there could be a reason, and the reason could be they wanted that scene to be sexy. They wanted to portray the character in a sexy way. That could be a reason, and that is... Although it's not my preference from an aesthetic standpoint, that is a legitimate reason to do that. What I'll use as an example is like shots of Isabella that are sort of similar in nature to that.
Oh, yeah.
But it sort of makes sense with how they wanted to introduce Isabella or how they wanted to portray her specifically in those scenes or at that point in time. There is a sex scene with Miranda in it. It's a very sexual scene because that's the point of the goddamn scene. There is a time and a place to do that. And I don't want BioWare to be some sort of puritanical, like, oh, we can't have any, there'll be no booty in our games. We're going to be wholesome, Christian only, puritanical. I don't want that. Like, if they want to.
This is a Christian Minecraft server.
Sure. Like, if they want to put some, smut it up, go for it. But there has to be some consistency and some logic to it. You can't just, like, awkwardly shoehorn it in places where it doesn't belong.
Yes.
So the reason could be, hey, we wanted to do a scene that portrays Miranda as being really sexy. Okay, make that scene. But don't shoehorn that weird shot in when she's talking about rescuing her goddamn sister.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I completely agree.
I think that kind of has to be said. You know, I love you guys, BioWare community. We are occasionally a tad hypocritical on that topic. You know, it's like, we don't want booty shots of Miranda, but like, all of the teaser trailer material that was out for Dragon Age was out for no more than 30 seconds before people were like, I'm gonna fuck the bird lady, I'm gonna fuck the Kunari lady, I'm gonna fuck the skeletons, I'm gonna fuck the tentacle monster.
Yeah. Well, if you remember, there was a, I forgot what award show it was, but like, Dragon Age did some award show thing, and they had like a funny little ha-ha hoo-ha with Cassandra and Varric talking about, you know, thanks for voting for our game. Also buy my book. And then Cullen just walks around shirtless and Cassandra gets all like, woo, Cullen's shirtless. Like, they were very obviously sexualizing Cullen for no goddamn reason. It was a little bit strange, but it was also kind of funny, played for laughs. Ha ha. But like, I get it. But like, there's a difference between played for laughs, haha, isn't this guy so hot, versus like, I need to rescue my sister, and this is a very serious moment. By the way, did you want to see how tight my ass is? You know? There's a big difference between
that. There is a big difference. And so, yeah, I don't know. Just like, again, I think I definitely found the corner of YouTube where people were most overreacting to it. I am willing to bet that in the broader Mass Effect community, probably almost no one really gives a crap about this, or just looks at it and goes, yeah, that's probably correct. They should probably do that.
Yeah, I really think the people that are the most offended are the people that don't. They're either the people that like haven't played the game in a couple years and they just remember Miranda being really sexy, so they're gonna think, oh, they're not gonna make her sexy anymore. Ah, oh, goddamn yeah. Power. Versus the people that think porn happens in real life. You know what I'm talking, like those guys are like, oh yeah, totally.
And also, like, I don't think the two overreactions are commensurate in any way, shape, or form. I'm not drawing equivalency. Mm-hmm. I'm just pointing out the fact that I do think the people who think that, like, taking the booty shots out is, like, the savior of the whole fandom, like, they were only booty shots to begin with. Do you know what I mean? Like, they were perhaps slightly distasteful, but taking them out is not solving the world's problems either. Like, I feel like there's some people are really, like, championing this. It's like, this is BioWare finally taking back. Like, okay, just calm down a little bit.
Yeah, that's a little bit too much. Yeah, the other side is also kind of silly. I just thought it really was distracting, and like, it's something that, like, it's almost an infamous joke from the series. Like, I would remember, like, just looking at Miranda's ass for no reason. Yeah, I remember that. That was kind of awkward. You know, it's become a joke.
I think I've almost laughed every time I've seen it. To your point, it's never been, like, sexy or titillating or anything. It's just awkward, and you can only kind of laugh at it and go like, what the fuck. Every time I see it, I'm just like, god, they really did that. They really had ass shots.
Yep. That's it. So
yeah, they didn't talk about this topic on the EA investor call, Katie. I don't know what they were thinking. I thought this was really important. I can't believe Goldman Sachs didn't ask about the booty shots.
They should have. If they knew their shit, they're like, I'm sorry, what's the...
We're expecting a 10% revenue loss based on no booty shots. Is this true, Andrew Wilson? Can you confirm that the fucking booty shots? I really like those fucking booty shots, man. We have $2 billion that we'll invest if you put the booty shots back in, man. Put them back in.
In fact, can you just make the whole thing booty shots?
Okay, Andrew Wilson... just like doing the thing where like he can't hold the phone in his hands, he's trying to pick it up so fast, he's like, Casey Hudson, put the fucking booty shots back in. Casey's like, I don't work there anymore, man. He's like, what?
I don't know, I haven't bothered learning the new guy's name, just fuck it.
Fuck it, who works there still? Ray Musica, what? You've been gone for 10 years. Okay, if Andrew Wilson ever listens to this, I apologize, sir, I have great respect for you.
We're just joking, man. It's just a meme. Also, just really random, at least the day we're recording this. Today was Mark Dara's last day at BioWare, officially.
God, that is so crazy, too. I don't know if I just totally misunderstood the communication at the time. I thought he had left already. I didn't realize he had stayed on for this long.
Yeah, what I had heard is that Casey was gone, like, immediately. And then Dara was going to be phased out because he was working... with the new guy whose name I already forgot, Christian Daly. This poor guy. I'm going to call him Daly. I can't remember which one's correct.
Christian
right
Casey Anthony Hudson Daly Dally.
Oh, fuck you, Ray. I'm so sorry.
It's a tradition now at this point. Daly Dally.
This really random, but to really cut down a long story, I had a client for well over a year who I could never remember their last name, so I just never called them by their last name. And, like, I could never find their file in the system. I could never remember this family's goddamn name. They would come in, and, like, I knew one girl's name, and she was, like, the main person I would see, and then everyone else was mom, dad, and sister. Never learned their names. They left. I don't remember.
Look, it's not your fault. All's fair in love and war. You call him Daly Dally. He can call you Kitey Gildithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithithith
But anyway, yeah, so Dara's gone officially. Sad day. Let's talk about the earnings call, because you're the guy that listens to it and knows what's going on.
So I don't know if there's a huge amount to take away from it, but someone did tweet about it, and that tweet started making the rounds. Daniel Ahmad, I believe he is, who's kind of a well-known. He tweets about EA somewhat frequently. He works for Nico Partners, which is he's an analyst covering the games industry. Mm-hmm. And so he tweeted kind of like just a few bullet points about it. What he basically tweeted was BioWare had a few blips in delivery over the past few. This is what EA was saying about BioWare on the call. That they had had a few blips in delivery over the past few years, that they're confident in its future roadmap. The new leadership team is taking the studio in a new direction, and that EA feels good about the ongoing success of BioWare and plan to reveal more in the near future. So, like, okay, pretty bare bones. I do think that sometimes investor calls, like, we read too much into them. And I totally put myself into that boat because I think I have read too much into things that have been said on investor calls. Before I've even talked about some of them on the show. So I don't want to read too much into it either way, but that top bullet point I thought was very interesting, right? Like BioWare has had a few blips in delivery over the past few years.
Yeah.
It's like a real corporate-y way to say, I guess, that like Andromeda and Anthem weren't received well.
We done some boo-boos, huh?
We had some like bugs or like technology, like a need for patches at the beginning of the launch. I was actually surprised because when I saw that initially, I was like, oh, wow, did they actually like cop to like the fact that stuff was not good? And the reason why I told you that I wanted to like listen to it myself, which I did, I listened to the whole call. The way that they actually talked about that was actually pretty positive. Like they kind of tried to acknowledge that I think in particular in the use of the word delivery, they were talking kind of, I think I should be clear. They didn't say this explicitly. I think that they were referencing Anthem being an online game. And having kind of like server issues, because what Andrew Wilson said specifically, and I'm paraphrasing, was that they had some blips in delivery, but that was because they were trying to deliver groundbreaking new experiences or things that at least BioWare hadn't done before.
Okay.
I don't think it was meant to be taken as like, though I think the way that people are reading it is EA is saying that BioWare is, you know, what the pundits are saying. The last two games weren't critically acclaimed, so BioWare's in trouble or something like that. I don't think that's what the leadership at EA was saying at all.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of it, like the fact that they're confident in the future roadmap, the new leadership direction, honestly, it all sounded like the typical sort of corporate boilerplate. The question that they were actually specifically asked by one of the investors was, what about the turnover in leadership? What about the fact that Mark Dara and Casey Hudson have left? That was the actual question. Casey Hudson called them both good friends of his and that they wish them. That's what I said. Like, are you guys really good friends or do you just have to say that?
Nah, there we are.
And that he wishes them well, but that he had confidence in like the new team and like obviously they're going in a new direction when you have new leaders, at least somewhat. I didn't really take away too much from the comments about BioWare during the call. What I take away almost every time I listen to one of the investor calls, and it's something that I always try to stress to people. BioWare's always kind of talked about no more than 30 seconds to a minute.
And like these are like an hour long at least,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah, either an hour or longer, and they're barely mentioned most of the time. So whatever we see, like in the BioWare community, that tweet by Daniel Ahmad has been circulated a little bit, and people go, oh, you know, this is what EA's thinking about BioWare. I think mostly what EA's thinking about BioWare is nothing.
But that's people's worry, because if they're just like, you know, a fly on the log, who cares about them? Like, then it's just so easy to brush them off and shut the whole thing down.
No, that worries me too. You know, they spend a lot of the call talking about how many hundreds of millions of dollars FIFA and The Sims and Madden make every quarter. Quarter, not every year. Every quarter they make hundreds of millions in revenue. Those are the franchises that they care about. And then after that, obviously they still care about Star Wars. You know, they had to field some questions about, hey, you guys aren't exclusive anymore. What the hell happened? And then they talk about Battlefield and, you know, and then they might talk about Apex. Like Apex gets more mentions than BioWare does most times. They did say, you know, hey, we've got the remaster we just announced and everybody's really excited about that. The reception to that has been great. And so that was, you know, it's probably about a minute or so of talk about BioWare. And it sounds mildly optimistic, I guess.
It's so... They were mildly optimistic about it. Like, you know, that's what... That's what I tell people. Like, they send toys to my kid. Like, oh, what? How did your little girl like the toys? And, oh, she's mildly into it. And she, like, she don't give two shit.
It's like, you know, I've cried playing Mass Effect. That's how much it means to me. But yeah, he's mildly optimistic about it.
Yeah, yeah. I do wonder. Sometimes I wonder if, like, what if the only reason they still got with BioWare, like, what if, like, this, I don't know anything about this guy's personal life, but maybe like his wife or his kid, his daughter, his son, I don't know, just like is secretly a huge like Dragon Age or Mass Effect fan. And they come like, daddy, 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 tell me more about the new game. Please tell me more about the new game. Well, honey, like, please don't shut it down, dad. It's the only thing I'm living for. Like, what if that's how they're surviving?
Just, I mean, like, say that as kind of like a joke, and I don't think that what I'm going to mention is necessarily like a personal affinity for it, but I mean, John Riccitiello, who was the CEO of EA forever, left EA, and then he became like a partner slash co-owner in the group that actually bought BioWare, or bought like a majority share of BioWare before it sold to EA, and then he rejoined EA, and that's why EA bought BioWare. He had to recuse himself or whatever, and the board had to vote on it because there's, you know, there's like laws about that. He became like he had a personal stake in that company and then rejoined EA, and then EA's money bought that company and he personally profited from that sale. Do you know what I mean? So smart move by John Riccitiello. And also it honestly probably kind of saved BioWare being acquired by that other holdings company first. A lot of people don't know this story that like BioWare probably never would have gotten to make Mass Effect and Dragon Age, in particular with 5-year development cycles, if they hadn't gotten that huge influx of capital from being acquired before EA acquired them. So as much as people talk about like the evil EA and stuff, I always like to remind people that former EA CEO John Riccitiello and some other folks, I think Bono was a part of the people who put...
Yeah, that was in the BioWare 25 book, Bono... somehow had a share or something like that.
Yeah. If it wasn't for them, like BioWare maybe never would have made it to getting acquired by EA. So anyway, like I don't, you know, John Riccitiello is now retired. He doesn't work at EA anymore, but I wonder if there's not some contingency in EA who goes like, why do we own this company anyway? Like, oh yeah, the old CEO wanted it or something like that.
Well, I wonder if it's also like, maybe he still has like a share in there or something like that. And so like maybe as a personal favor, they're like, you know, if we tank it, he's going to lose his investment or something. So as a favor to that guy, we're going to, I don't know. I don't know anything about investments. So I'm just talking out of my ass. I barely understood what was going on with the GameStop bullshit.
So. Just not even talking about GameStop.
Yeah.
But it is, you know, the fact that they're mentioned very briefly on investor calls is just a constant reminder that they stick out like a sore thumb in that portfolio. Like everything else lends itself pretty well to live services. Everything else lends itself well to multiplayer and microtransactions. And this, you know, previously predominantly single player RPG developer kind of doesn't make sense. Respawn got to be the exception to this with the totally single player, totally zero microtransactions, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, but that's because they had Disney behind them. They had Star Wars, who got burned by Battlefront 2, saying, do not put any freaking microtransactions in this.
Yeah. And they did a great job, apparently.
Yeah, oh, that's a fantastic game. Some of the best Star Wars games ever. So, unfortunately, Mass Effect doesn't have, like, a giant standing behind it as far as the IP is concerned. But I don't know. I still think that EA recognizes Mass Effect in particular is a huge IP, and I think that they realize Dragon Age is also a very valuable IP.
Even though, like, I know I harp on it, but like Dragon Age really is the redheaded stepchild to BioWare because they're like, look at all this Mass Effect stuff. Mass Effect, Mass Effect, Mass Effect, Mass Effect. Oh, yeah, Dragon Age gets a trailer. Thanks, guys. Anyway, Mass Effect.
Okay.
It's like, that's how I feel inside, okay? I know it's...
I agree with you on that. But let's, to kind of somewhat harken back to some older investor calls as well. I mean, they have been saying for a while, and I think they started with Command & Conquer remakes. They said this like last year. They're like, we're going to go big on remasters and remakes. We're really going to bring some of our classic franchises. And
they did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they're doing it with BioWare in some sense. I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility that they seriously consider it for Dragon Age.
Yeah, I just... It's like y'all have had two game releases, and all I want, I just want a Dragon Age. I didn't think I'd have a kid by the time Dragon Age 4 would come out, and it's been almost 6 years.
Kid's gonna be in kindergarten before.
Honestly, yeah.
Let me ask you this, kind of we'll end on a somewhat positive note, because I said I wanted to come back to this idea of potentially a Dragon Age remaster. Let me put you this question, I guess. You get a choice. And of course, we would prefer Dragon Age 4 over all of this. That goes without saying. But you get a choice. You get the trilogy, let's call it, being refreshed. Probably not a lot on Inquisition, more on 2 and on Origins, but you get like sort of a uniform refresh on all of them, very similar to what they're doing now with the Mass Effect. Mm-hmm. Or you get a totally ground up remake of Dragon Age Origins inside of Frostbite, inside of the DAI engine. Or you get an isometric Larian style remake of Dragon Age Origins.
Ooh. Okay. Toss out the remaster. Who gives a shit?
She want that. And this does not include Dragon Age 2. The remake is only for Origins.
Here's the thing, though. I think I would most want a remake for Dragon Age 2.
Really?
Because I think it would do the best with it. Because, like, can you imagine a Dragon Age 2 where the maps aren't reused? Whole new game.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. Okay.
Yeah, the story actually holds up really well with Dragon Age 2. You just need a couple of tweaks. Honestly, a remake of Dragon Age 2 where all you do is just a couple tweaks to the story, make things not so fast in the third act, and then new maps, which I know is a big ask. But, like, that...
If it's a remake, it's great. In scope. Okay. So, wow, that's a really interesting take. You're saying Dragon Age Origins is already considered a great game.
Yeah, who cares? Like, I, as much as I would like an isometric, that'd be fun. I would like an isometric Larian-like thing of a whole new thing. Like, maybe the continuation of the Warden. Like, I think it'd be really great because the Warden should come back because your Warden isn't dead. Because if your Warden did die, you still have a Warden Commander from Orlais that is alive. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but we can, if you want to have their story be able to come up to a certain point, you can have sort of like the Larian isometric
non-voiced
type of thing. Yeah, non-voiced that starts off in a whole couple different ways and it all narrows down into one area. And then you can, like, wherever it ends in that area, then you could port that into a new game, Dragon Age 4 later on. So I think that's... I mean, that's asking quite a lot, but I think, like, that's totally within the realm of possibility. So if that's what they were doing with what you're talking about, I would be into that. Like, in Inquisition-style Dragon Age Origins, not like the style of the gameplay is one thing, but, like, I super duper graphics, like, it doesn't, I don't know, it would be cool, but No, I would rather things fix problems, and I don't see that fixing a problem.
You don't want super realistic, high poly count, 4K ray tracing
Ogryn?
Where
you're going this. Yeah, I thought you were going to go with the sex scene between Morgan and Morgaine or something.
No.
Yeah, that's where I thought you were going. I definitely want to see ray traced Ogryn.
You could see the crumbs in his beard, you know what I mean? Like, you could just get the full detail.
You can smell the alcohol from your screen. In the advanced edition, the CD you buy actually smells like alcohol, so you can get that. Oh boy. It's kind of like how the Nintendo Switch cartridges have that, like, bitter taste to it, but it's just like smelly Dorvin man.
Anyway. What you came up with, I think, is better than what my multiple choice was. A totally new Warden continuation in that Larian style, or nice prettied up sort of Frostbite remake of 2 would be epic.
Yes. I did break the rules to your question, though, so if we're going to go with your question, I'll do the Larian style thing. Because I don't think the game style that much would lend well to the I've already forgot
just the voices, right? Like, if they had to, because I would imagine if you do it in Frostbite, it'd have to be voiced, and if you voice the Warden, that might be sacrilege for everybody.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, you would get a lot of people bitching about it, and that would just be really annoying. Even though I think it'd be fine. Guys, just voice the Warden. I don't give a fuck. Like, I don't... I'm sorry to everyone who's going to get their panties in a wad about the warden getting a voice. I don't give a shit. I really don't.
Katie with a hot take. Voice the warden.
2020 and having a kid has definitely left me with a I don't give a fuck approach to a lot of things anymore. And that's definitely one of them. Like, will it be awkward and kind of strange? Yeah, it might. But I'll learn to live with it. And I can just pretend it doesn't exist. And that's fine. I can go on with my life.
I've got to say, if they voice the warden, I probably wouldn't like it, but I probably wouldn't care. Yeah, so I guess I'm probably closer to your take on it.
Yeah, I really think that a lot of people either not, most people wouldn't care. Some might actually prefer it. And then there's going to be a few vocal people who are like, oh, that's not my warden. I mean, to be fair, like, your warden did have a voice. They did. They talked to you. Can I get your letter so that I get off my back? You could actually get all of those people back, probably, to voice it. Like, your warden did have a voice. They just didn't do all the lines.
Yeah,
you know?
You're right. Do you think that people just imagine in their head, like, a voice of a warden just so, like, not just that it's different, but that it's so different, it could just never mesh with whatever sort of generic hero sounding. Like, do you think anybody just imagines, like, their warden sounding like fucking Gilbert Gottfried or something like that? Like, they just...
Was that not Claude's voice? Because that's what I was
saying. Oh, God, you're right. That might actually be correct.
Oh, no, he was, what's his name? Cockle, the guy who voiced The Witcher, because it was the Witcher voice pack mod that we used for our playthrough of Dragon Age Origins.
Yeah. No, you're totally right.
Yeah. Anyway, we're kind of getting off the point here. We gotta wrap this puppy.
I think, do we have anything else to close on about MELE or anything else we talked about today?
No, I don't think so. I'll be honest, like, it all looks really cool and I'll definitely want to see it. I don't think I'm going to buy it at launch. I think I'm going to wait for a sale on this one.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, because, like, it's cool and I do really want to see the stuff and it would be fun to play. I think it's also, now with the kid, I have a short list of games. Like, I can only play one thing at a time. I can't, like, mm-hmm. juggle a couple things. And, like, I don't think I'm going to be able to get to Mass Effect at May. So why buy it at launch?
That makes total sense. No, I completely agree with that. I am very interested in how this game is going to perform broadly. I am Mr. Mass Effect man. I love everything Mass Effect. I am kind of the audience for it because I'm down for it. Once I saw that it was as substantial mm-hmm. as it is, I wanted it. I wonder how normal sort of everyday gamers are just going to be like, oh yeah, that's old. I played that or whatever happened. So I am looking forward to it. Oh, last thing I wanted to say. Tiny little thing. I didn't realize that never mind the textures. When I saw that shot of Ashley, like the side-by-side of the old shot of Ashley and the new one, I'm like, holy crap, mm-hmm. like the actual, like the meshes or like the polygon count has to be way higher. Like they didn't just slap new textures on the old models per se. Like the geometry and everything of her armor is so much more detailed and it pops so much more. Anyway, last little detail. I'm excited.
I'm glad you're excited, and I it would be nice to do like a playthrough on the channel or something. I don't know if you don't want to do it with me, that's fine, but at least like the I do want to see the character creator, so I'm gonna force you to like do something so I can just see the character.
I think it's gonna be a lot of fun to play it. I do plan to stream it, and yeah, that'd be great if you want to join.
If I can, I'll be in. So yeah. Anyway, one other thing. So we just finished up doing all of the ranking the characters.
That's right.
And the Google Doc for that is still open, so you guys can vote for your ranking on the character. So the way it's designed, people who have taken it, I know it's kind of wonky, but that's the best I could do in Google Forms.
I think it looks great, personally. I thought you did a bang-up job.
It's not how I wanted it. Okay, there's also a ton of questions, and right now we have over 260 responses. Woo-hoo. And let me tell you, trying to open up the responses on Google, and I have a very nice computer, takes a minute, yeah. Jordan. It crunches.
Oh, boy.
Google's having some trouble. Like, you talking like, oh, what if we get 1,000 reviews? I'm like, I don't think it can handle
Google will die.
Many. Google will explode. It's very hard to get this thing to load. At this point, I'm hoping I can get the data. I can see the data. It just, honestly, it takes me 5 minutes to load the page. It is really crunchy.
Oh, boy.
But yeah, if you want to add more to this and make my life a living hell, then please go to the link in the description, or you can go to our Codex Added YouTube page, and the link, I'll put the link in the description for this episode. It was also in the ranking Dragon Age Inquisition character episode, so I'll try to put the link everywhere. Hopefully we can also put the description in the wherever you're listening to. I don't think we got to it last time, so they didn't give the link to Jordan in time. That's my bad. Because I didn't get to finish making it. So hopefully we'll be able to put it at places. So yeah, fill it out. And I don't know when we'll do the episode. I don't know if that'll be the next one or the one after. But yeah, we'll talk about... I'll crunch down all the numbers so we can have the average ranking and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we said we mentioned this on the last episode that we would do this. And we've tweeted it out and put it out on all the socials. I guess this is the first time we're getting to mention it on a show. So, I mean, we haven't even said how long we're going to leave it open, but we'll leave it longer. We'll leave it open a little bit longer.
Yeah. We did have a request to leave it open until Mass Effect Legendary Edition came out. That way you guys could play it and then rank it. But that person thought, and to be fair, we all did, that was coming out in March, and we can't wait till May.
Yeah, that's a bit long.
Sorry, it's too long. No one's going to vote on it. It was a good idea. The timing doesn't work out.
Yeah, for sure.
So. There we go. I think with that, Jordan, where can the people?
They can find me on YouTube under The Exalted March and on Twitter and Instagram and Reddit at The Exalted March. Katie, where can the folks find you?
They can find me at Gilderthalen on Twitter and YouTube. Oh, fun fact. I'm doing research for another video, and I logged into my Instagram for the account in the first time in almost a year, and I had a bunch of messages there. Don't message me on Instagram. I forgot it existed, and one person got really mad at me. Sorry, I didn't know you existed.
Oh, boy.
So, with that, the rest are all.
I was going to say, things that Katie doesn't care about, Miranda's ass and your fucking Instagram ass. We'll leave it out. We'll cut that out.